ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Exodus 16, verses 4 and 5, we're told that the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So in this story, we're told that the children of Israel would gather enough food for one day, and each day they would do this. And then before the Sabbath, they would gather a two-day supply of food because no manna would be provided for them on the Sabbath day. And they were only to gather as much as they would eat. They couldn't, you know, get a bunch more and not leave any till the next morning. They were to eat everything. Now, were there those that didn't listen? Of course. I mean, do we always listen to the Lord? No, they didn't either. In fact, Exodus 16:20, we're told, "Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, the manna, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them." Could you imagine? That would be pretty horrible smelling stuff in the camp of Israel. As we look at Jesus now, the true bread from heaven, don't we have to partake of him daily? Absolutely. Can others do it for us? Absolutely not. We have to partake of God's word each and every day. We have to feed upon Jesus. And that sounds funny. What do I mean by feeding upon Jesus? Feeding upon Jesus, Jesus is the word. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." He is the word. And as we feed upon God's word, the Bible, we're partaking of Jesus. Now, you can't say, "Hey, I'm going to read for a few hours today and that should cover me for the rest of the week." It's not how it works. I'll give you an example. Don't try this at home, men. I'm just warning you. Don't say to your wife, "Hey, honey, let's talk for a few hours today and then I'll get back to you in a week." I'm not going to do that, Julie, please. No, that would not work. You have to talk every day. Spend time with your spouse every day. That's what Jesus wants. Now, if you don't spend time in the Bible, in God's Word, on a daily basis, 7 days outside of the Word of God makes 1 week. And I don't mean W-E-E-K. I mean W-E-A-K. Spiritually, we become very weak. And we could succumb to the winds that blow through the church. And there's a lot of stuff blowing through the church today. We got to stand strong upon God. Think about all the things that are coming against us today. How do you stand against it? By knowing what God wants for your life. By knowing what God wants you to do. For me, this whole trip going to Russia, I knew God wanted me to do it. Now, I don't know how this is all going to work out. You know, this is a crazy world today. Things could change in a few days or in one day. But I know God wants me to go, and he wants me to take those steps of faith. And as I spend time with him, he's given me the messages that I'm supposed to share. But that's what we have to do on a daily basis. God, direct me, guide me, comfort me, whatever. You know, people want to know about God. How do I know about God? Read his word. Apply it to your life. God's word is truth, guys. And please don't misunderstand me when I say this. Don't get your Bible information from shows like The Chosen or others. They add a lot of stuff to them. I'm not saying you can't be entertained by them. You can. You know, I like the Ten Commandments. You know, I don't think Edward G. Robinson was any of the children of Israel, actually. But, you know, I like the Ten Commandments. Was it all biblical? No. I mean, they add stuff. Where do I get my biblical information from? The Bible. That's the truth. So, yeah, we can be entertained by those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand, don't take it for biblical doctrine because you're going to be led astray. It's the Word of God, and we have to apply it to our lives. That's so important. It's not just reading the Word of God. It's applying it. I know a lot of people that know the Word of God, but they don't apply it. And you see it manifested in their lives. They could quote scripture after scripture after scripture, but then living it is a different story. And isn't that the harder part? For me, it is. You know, you get yourself in a situation, oh no, what am I going to do? Hey, let God guide you. You know, what did the Lord say to Joshua? Joshua was in a difficult situation. Moses is now dead. Joshua is taking over, right? Children of Israel have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God says, now, Joshua, you're going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Do you have anyone else, Lord? Now, think about it. Moses, 40 years. Now, Joshua's in charge. And he was nervous. And God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's apply that to our lives today. Here we are in this battle, right? You know, I realize Christians think we're in a playground today. We're not. We're in a battle. This is a battlefield outside those doors. And are Christians afraid? Are they dismayed by what they see? Yeah. But what does the Lord say to Joshua and to us? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, thank you, Lord. I lost that perspective because of all the stuff that was before me. But knowing you're with me, that you're guiding me, thank you, Lord. I needed that today. We have to take God's word and apply it to our lives as we walk in faith. And again, just like the manna that came down from heaven, God the Father sent his son, he sent Jesus down from heaven to give us eternal life through his death and resurrection. That's what we're told in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his son. That's what Jesus is saying here. The bread of life came down from heaven. God the Father sent it. And manna was a free gift of God to the children of Israel. Was the manna something that they earned or deserved? Absolutely not. It wasn't because they were so good. God blessed them with that. Jesus is a free gift to us. He has the gift of eternal life for us. And it's not because we deserve it or we're so good, our behavior is so perfect. No. I like the manna. It was white in color and the taste of the manna was sweet. And I think it's a picture of the righteousness of Christ. He's white, pure. There's no darkness in him at all. And when we taste and see that the Lord is good, there's a sweetness to our life that he gives to us. I can't believe that God loves me so much that he saved me. But I know it because that's what the scriptures tell me. It blows me away. One writer summed it up like this. He said, the Lord Jesus revealed himself as the bread of God which came down from heaven and gives life. He was showing the superiority of the bread of God to the manna in the wilderness. The manna did not impart life, but only sustained physical life. It was not intended for the whole world, but only for Israel. True bread comes down from heaven and gives life to men, not just to one nation, but to all the world. It's there for everyone, but not all receive it, not all accept it, and many mock it. When the Jews left Egypt, a mixed multitude came with them also of people. They kind of tagged along, and that was a problem for Israel. And we see this in the world today. The world mocks what we believe. But we also see it in the church, where you have unbelieving leaders who deny Jesus Christ, that he's Almighty God, that he came to save us for our sins, that he atoned for our sins on the cross of Calvary. They alter what the Word of God has to say. And they hold up their ideas, their philosophies, or the philosophies of the world, instead of the church being a light it has become darkness many times. We're just like the world. It's kind of, mocking Christianity is kind of the latest American sport. You see all kinds of articles exposing the evils of faith, laughing at how irrational we are. Really, I believe in Almighty God who created the heavens and earth in 6 literal days. Yeah, oh, you're just one of those guys. Oh, so you believe everything came out of nothing? And you call me irrational? You call me foolish? Why do we have to adopt the things of this world when we have the things of God right before us? God took the time. I mean, think about this book we have, this love story that God has given to us, and how it's still here after thousands of years. Find the works of Shakespeare or any ancient writings and see if you have all their documents. You don't, but we have God's. He sustained it for us. Paul in Colossians said, beware of anyone who's going to cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of the world, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Why? In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Wow. You know what the amazing thing is about that? We're complete in Jesus. So what does the world come up? Other ways. What does the church come up with, I really should say? Other ways of being complete. Purpose-driven life. 21 days of this, 41 days of that, whatever. No, I'm complete in Christ. And so as I take in his word, I partake of the bread of life daily, I'm gaining that spiritual food that's going to help me to grow and maintain my spiritual life. I'm building up the inner man. That's why we need to draw close to Jesus. As you draw close to him through his word, you're not going to be pulled away from the things of God into the deceitfulness of the world's philosophies. And make no mistake about it, the world's going to mock us and make fun of us. You have to get beyond that. You have to let it go. Because we have the truth before us. One writer put it like this. He said, in light of all the events that have taken place since the global outbreak of the coronavirus, we have heard the world ask the church, where is your God now? Of course, this is not new. Throughout history, we've seen the mockers, and they don't limit their disdain to God alone, but extend it to his people as well. Once the unexpected happens. In Psalm 42, verses 3 through 10, David said, my tears have been my food day and night. Well, they continually say to me, where is your God? In the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophet, the laughingstock of all peoples and was the object of their taunts all day long. Here's the good news. God vindicated them. We serve a God of the impossible. There is nothing that he cannot do. And nothing takes our God by surprise. And you know what that does? It gives me amazing confidence. But to gain peace, we have to go deeper in him. It doesn't matter what the mockers say. It doesn't matter what the world say. You stand firm in the faith. You trust the word of God. We really shouldn't be shocked when non-Christians mock our faith. Jesus was mocked. He was crucified. And he said, people are going to come against us, hate us like they hated him. Human beings want to be liked. I mean, let's face it, how many of us want to be hated or mocked at or made fun of? None of us do. We want to get along with people. But the world's not going to want to get along with us. And I don't live for the world's approval. I fear God more than I fear man. So I'm not going to succumb to the world's sinfulness so I could be accepted by them. I'm going to stand firm upon God's word. They're going to come and they're going to keep coming. But you know what? I'm going to stand strong. We shouldn't let persecution surprise us today. We shouldn't be shocked when it happens. But we should know what we believe so we can stand strong. And again, we are starting to see the churches mock us as well. I remember, and this is a while ago, one of the churches in town was trying to put us down here at Calvary. And, oh, Calvary Chapel, they're the ones that teach the Bible. Yeah, praise God, amen. You're right, because there's nothing else I can give you. Believe me, guys, I did not do very good in school. I cannot make you up stories and things to tell you. I can't entertain you at all. What I can give you is the Word of God, and that's the most important thing I can give you. And that's what I've done for the last 26 years. You know, I haven't changed my ways. And I'm not going to let the church or anyone else sway me to go in another direction. Can you say that I'm a fanatic about Jesus and the Bible? Absolutely. People go, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. Yeah, I am. Isn't it funny how the world, when you love God, they mock you. But they will sit in a football stadium when it's 0 degrees out with their shirts off. These guys have the names of the teams plastered on their chest, and it's 0 degrees out, and they call me nuts. You see, perspective, guys. Don't let the world put you. If they want to put you down, so what? God will vindicate you. I think it is so important that we take in God's word on a daily basis. The bread from heaven to feed our soul and produce health, strength, and growth for our spiritual lives. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You see, we're born again by taking in the word of God, applying it then to our lives, and believing the scriptures and growing in the faith. And God's word is eternal. Again, I think it was a French philosopher, Voltaire, said that after his death, within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity will be done away with. That's a pretty bold statement. And God is not mocked. God vindicates his people. And what happened was, the Geneva Bible Society bought Voltaire's home and printed Bibles from his house. Voltaire is long gone. The Word of God stands forever. Praise God. Never be swayed, guys. Now, Jesus just spoke to them about the true bread from heaven, eternal life, speaking about himself, what he's got for them. And their response is confusion. Look at John 6:34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Think about what Jesus has shown them so far. You know, first in the response to their question back in John 6:28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Again, they were just asking Jesus what they needed to do to get to heaven. You know, the law said you had to keep this, you had to do that, you can't do this. So what do we need to do to get into heaven? And Jesus said in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In other words, you can't work your way into heaven. You have to believe in Jesus, the Savior, the one that the Father sent to save us from our sins. And they didn't get that. They wanted a sign, and Jesus gives them the sign from heaven, the bread of life that the Father sent down. Not the bread that came down in the wilderness, the manna, but Jesus, God Almighty, came down, the one who gives eternal life. And the second point is seen as Jesus finished speaking with them. The response is, Lord, give us this bread always. Like, what is that about? They're missing the point that Jesus made. They wanted material bread. Hey, you know, provide for us all the time. You know, kind of like the man in the wilderness. Just give it to us every single day. Oh, we got more bread coming. This is awesome. We can live like this. Give it to us always. Thinking on the physical level. And it's not genuine faith. When Willow Creek back in Chicago was started, years ago when I lived out there. They went around the neighborhood asking people in the neighborhood, what do you want in a church? What kind of church do you want? What kind of things do you want in a church? And they came back together and put together a church that was to meet the needs of the people. Well, really the superficial needs. You know, you can't talk about sin. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's pretty much what they did. That's why we call it seeker-friendly. You know, doctrine was not that important to them. It was negated. And many don't see this as a problem. Aren't we supposed to meet the needs of the people? I'll tell you what, there's one way, you know, to meet the needs of the people. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved candy and ice cream. I loved that. I would eat it 24/7. But I had a mom who really loved me and cared for me. and she never gave it to me that much. Once in a while, what did she give me? The things I needed to grow physically. I needed that to grow physically. That's why I'm so tall. Now, it's probably all the sugar kept me small. I don't know. Probably my dad and mom are not that tall. That's probably the big reason. But again, look at what we're told is to happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, notice what Paul tells this young pastor. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to seek teachers. They're going to heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, here's the thing. I don't have to go around and canvass the neighborhood to see what people want in a church. Why? Because God has already told me what the focus of the church is to be. Preach the word. When I first came up here, the Lord gave me what this church was to be about. In fact, that's one of the songs Chris Johnson wrote for our radio, or for our radio program, The Sustaining Word. And it comes right out of Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what the early church was about, and that's what we're to be about. And so many people today say, oh, we want, this is the early, our church is like the early church. Well, is this what your church is doing? Because this was the early church. And is it easy? No. But you have to be ready to teach and preach the word of God. You do it when people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. You're to convince them that the scriptures are true. You're to rebuke them as you teach the word of God and expose their sin. God convicts them as the word of God is spoken. You exhort them to continue on in the faith, not to give up, but to forge ahead. And we need that today. We need that encouragement, as there's such a battle out there. And you know what was said by Paul, what he wrote prior to saying preach the word? Something to me that is really, really important. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God's word is breathed to us from God himself, and it's profitable. It tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong, tells us how to get right when we've gone astray, and tells us how to stay right. And the end result of preaching and teaching the word of God is that the man of God is going to be complete. He's going to be ready for every good work, thoroughly equipped. But the problem comes when people don't want to hear it any longer and they search for teachers who will tickle their ears, tell them fairy tales, and they end up ignoring the truths of God found in the word of God. Paul's saying, Timothy, don't let this stop you. You're going to face intense persecution. People are going to come against you. Forge ahead. Continue on in the work. And I love the fact here in John, chapter 6, Jesus doesn't give up on these people. Even with all this confusion on their part, their carnality, you might say, he's going to keep teaching them. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But again, there are those who close their ears to God's word. They close their heart to the Holy Spirit's leading. They don't want to hear it anymore. And the problem is, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 2, they're foolishness to him. And how could they know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. I remember it was, some science fiction writer had wrote a commentary on the Bible. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I picked it up in an old bookstore, and I thought, all he said was ridiculous. It's like, where do you even get this from? This is not what it's even saying. And then God reminded me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Of course, how does he write a commentary on the Bible when he doesn't even know the God who wrote the Bible? And that's why it's so foolish. They need to be born again. And for these people here in John chapter 6, and it's for people really today, Bruce said what they wanted, Jesus wouldn't give them. What Jesus offered them, they would not receive. And that's the tragedy always. That's the crux of it. People want God to give them this and that, and they reject what God has for them. And it's far more important than anything on the physical level. It's eternal life. You know, the world is really good at this. You know, the advertisement industry, they can sell you anything. It's amazing. And we need to be careful because they entice us. Oh, you got to have this. Oh, if you don't have that, come on. It's the iPhone 264, you know, or whatever. I don't know what number they're on right now, but I'm sure it's way up there. And you got to have the latest one. But does it satisfy? No, because then there's the iPhone 265 or whatever, you know. It's the next one. True happiness is never found in material things. Again, like I said, it's found in the Lord. If you can be content in Him, nothing's going to stop you.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.